Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, it's time for our U.S. Open draft. We didn't do it for the PGA because PGA is the worst of the four majors, if we're being honest. Blankers won the Masters. So we'll see if we can get some revenge on them this time, Brendan. We'll see if we can even up.
My green jacket. I won the Masters.
We should. You know what's not good about not doing the PGA? You can't win the Slam. You can't win the Killer Bee Grand Slam.
Okay, that wasn't very nice.
I'm just,
you always look to throw salt on a wound.
I wasn't salt on a wound. I'm just saying it's disappointing we didn't do it for that very reason.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're doing it now for the U.S. Open. It is back. So we drew Glenn Davis's. We put numbers on Glenn Davis's forehead on a card that he has.
He's not going to like to hear that.
Why?
Glenn, believe me. Glenn
soccer
just,
matters.
He will have issue with the fact that, so now you guys are using my cards as drawing sticks?
I mean, it's better that we use Glenn Davis than, like, some random sheet of paper. At least we can give Glenn Davis a plug and talk about soccer matters. World Cup coming up later this year. Cannot wait. We should probably have Glenn Davis on. Who is that guy? Was that Terry Gannon? I think that was Terry Gannon talking to us. Anyways,
It says it's a music bet, okay?
We drew Glenn Davis's. And Brendan drew the number one pick. Blankers has the number two pick. I have the number three pick, so the deck is already stacked against me. We'll see if I can make some magic happen from number three. So, Brendan, you got pick number one. Care to lead us off? Five rounds, by the way. Top three scores combined play. And whoever wins that, well, wins the major of the Killer Bees.
So I'll be honest. I thought the U.S. Open happened later in the summer. Like, I thought it was like late August, early September.
Not mid-June?
Tells you how much I pay attention. I'm going to go.
Brendan famously saying that you couldn't pay him to go to the Masters.
I'm going
to
take Rafael Nadal here okay. in the U.S. Open. One of the best players in the world.
But you know they're not playing on clay, right?
Wait. Oh, this is a golf segment.
Yeah.
Rafael Nadal, pick number one. All right, so Nadal was number
one.
He's
going to show up.
To Brendan. Who do you got, Blankers, now that you can draft literally anybody on the board?
I am going to go with...
Man, I love my spot here.
Man.
Especially after he went Nadal number one.
I am going to go... I'm debating between actually two or three... I'm going to take JT.
Ah, JT.
Justin Thomas.
A lot of people like JT this week. Sounds mastery to me.
What's the difference between Masters music and U.S. Open music?
I guess I shouldn't expect lot of Brendan playing golf music, considering you'd have to pay him to go to Augusta, and he just selected Rafael Nadal with the number one pick in our U.S. Open draft. So I got the swing here. I got two in this spot. I'm trying to select between three guys.
Well, that's really basically what I was spots. Doing.
So you're going to get the leftover of who I don't pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the guy with the chip on his shoulder. The guy in great form. Coming off the victory in Canada, I'll take Rory McIlroy with my first pick. And then how about the guy that won the Masters? And the betting favorite
son of a-
to win. You could have taken him number two. I'll take Scottie Scheffler. So I got Rory and Scheffler there on the swing.
I'll take John Rahm.
Yeah, see, that was the one. So you go Rahm, and now it's back to Brendan. Snake draft rules, of course.
Jeremy Pena hurt his thumb, so be careful.
Look, obviously throwing away one pick isn't going to help. I'm going to go with the best golfer of all time.
What is this music?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
You are so roped into the music.
It's funny. The music's funny.
I killed it.
Is it all right if I'm into the music? I was just trying to figure out what it was.
All right,
it kind of sounded like Smooth a little bit from Santana.
I just Googled golf playlist after the failure of the first song.
All right, so Brendan's got Nadal and Tiger Woods.
And then
Murderer's
number three,
Row here.
I may as well go.
How many players do we get? Five?
Five.
Yeah.
May as well go with someone who's hot coming off a big win last weekend. I'm not 100% sure how this pronounced. Charles Schwartzel?
That's how it's pronounced, yeah.
Charles Schwartzel is my third pick.
Yeah, he is red hot. He is
coming off a big win last week.
Ineligible, is he not, or is he playing?
He's not in the in the field.
Well, there you go.
He won over $4.5 million
Wait. So how many players do I currently have in the field?
Zero.
Nadal, right. Tiger, and Charles are all in the field.
Tiger might be a late submission. I'd watch out for that.
You trying to make the cut is going to be a challenge.
Yeah. All right, so it's back to you, Blank. You still have every option that you had with your previous pick.
I'm going to do it again, and he didn't do me any favors last
I think
time.
I know where you're going here.
I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele.
Oh, okay. That's not who I thought. It's not bad. So Blankers went Schauffele. He's now got Thomas, Rahm, and Xander. I have two picks in a row here. I'm a little worried about the narrow fairways. I'm a little worried about the thick rough. But Cameron Smith, underrated golfer.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Brendan, I think, was you took
Cameron Smith, the employee.
I think, number one.
Always reliable.
So I'm going to go Cameron Smith. I really don't want the next guy on my board. I'll go with a guy who was in the race there to win the PGA. Nearly got it. Nearly won it. I had a outright ticket for him to win. I'm a little disappointed he did not. He did get in the playoff, though. I'll go Will Zalatoris with my fourth round pick.
Yeah, that's a good call. He's been very, very good lately.
Thanks. I was seeking approval.
I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go Sam Burns.
Oh, so Sam Burns is Blanker's pick in the fourth round. Burns up there with some of the favorites here. Okay, so now back to Brendan. Brendan, you got two picks on the swing.
It's been hot lately.
To close out your draft of Nadal, Woods, Charles. How can you possibly add to this excellent team that you put together?
Last time around, I repped Gal Media employees. You took the Gal Media employee off the board who
the
I was going to take next.
Best one.
I'm going to have to grab the other one, though, Cam Davis.
I don't know if Davis has a tee time this week.
Him and Tiger are both going to show up together. They're gonna include a last-minute foursome that includes Cam Davis and Tiger Woods.
So you got Nadal, Woods, Charles Davis. Could you give us your last pick?
You know, I'm really struggling with five. I don't have anything planned for five, if I'm being entirely honest.
Well, you
did
had
either
a game
of you take
plan,
Rory McIlroy?
Yes. Yeah, Rory McIlroy went in the first round there, Brendan.
Joel told me I can't take Jeremy Pena.
Right.
He's a baseball player. He's also hurt.
How about, I actually don't know who you guys have taken. I'm trying to find somebody at the top of the list. Somebody's got to carry me to victory. How about John Rahm?
Already taken by me.
Yeah, he was very early in the
draft.
How
about Jordan Spieth?
Spieth is available.
All right, Jordan Spieth's going to carry me to victory.
Hook him. BK would be very happy with that pick of Jordan Spieth with Mr. Irrelevant for Brendan's team. So Brendan,
I just figured
you
guys
draft.
You guys didn't have the foresight to see my team. So I didn't even worry about who you were going to pick because I figured I could beat you to all five of my guys.
I like your chances. Golf course looks good. Golf swing feels good. I like my chances. All right, Blank, close out your U.S. Open draft.
Well, I'm trying to verify. Sam Burns is in, is he not?
He was on my sheet of he was on my betting list.
I was just looking at the leaderboard tee times, and I was looking for him to make sure that he is indeed in. You know, I do take these things seriously, and I'm far too competitive.
You're trying. No, he's off to tomorrow at 1:14 Eastern. So, yeah, he's in the field from Shreveport, Louisiana. He's playing with Abraham Unser and Thomas Peters.
Okay. I'm going to go Colin Morikawa.
It's a good pick. It's very good value. I'm surprised you got Morikawa after Charles Schwartzel, though. I'm surprised you got him after Cam Davis. I'm surprised you got him after Tiger Woods. Very good pick
I'm
there.
Surprised he didn't take Kevin Na and Kevin, Patrick Reed.
They're in the field.
I'm still saying it. They're not going to handle it well.
He should have taken just an entire live
field. You should have lived to see another day.
Yeah, that should have been your angle. You take the entire
live and
field.
Let die, Brendan.
Maybe we'll give somebody the live field too. Maybe we can give Brendan so he can actually be a competitor in this. Maybe we'll give him the live field because we can give him Dustin Johnson, who's not been selected.
Why
we can
can't
give
we
him
tell
Phil
my
Nicholson.
Rafael Nadal
give him
score?
Dustin.
I just don't think he's going to be under par.
Not maybe not, but he's going to play in the U.S. Open, I would assume.
Yeah, the one with a racket and a green ball, not the one with a golf club and a white ball that's
still
happening this weekend.
Still has a chance to win the U.S. Open.
We could give him the live field. Yeah,
yeah. Phil, Dustin, Patrick Reed, Kevin Na.
And then we need one more off the top of my – Gooch, Taylor Gooch.
Okay.
So he's got Dustin, Phil, Reed, Na, and Gooch.
You guys are just taking over my team?
Yeah, hostile takeover.
Well, we
got
to do something to save face for you.
Hostile takeover.
With the same size clubs and the oversized grips. He's not in it.
Who's that? DeChambeau.
Yeah,
DeChambeau is in it.
There you go.
You want to give DeChambeau instead of Gooch?
You want a Gooch or a DeChambeau?
It's a hostile takeover. Do you ask people what they want in a hostile takeover?
Well, we're giving you at least partial
DeChambeau.
Opportunity.
DeChambeau's got more clout.
I feel like I had him last time.
All right, so you get Bryson. I'll close out the draft with my brother-in-law Shane Lowry. So, Brendan, his original team.
Did you guys work out together?
We're on the same diet. Oh. Brendan's original team was Nadal, Tiger, Charles, Cam Davis, and Spieth before he got it hostile takeovered, and we gave him the live team. Dustin, Phil, Reed, Nahn, DeChambeau. Blankers has Thomas, Rahm, Xander, Burns, Morikawa, and I have Rory, Scheffler, Cam Smith, Zalatoris, and Lowry. Who won the draft? 713-780
ESPN.
Definitely
feels like a two-team race, but...
Yeah, mine and Brendan, the live team.
Oh, okay, we'll see.
713-780-ESPN.
Haters are going to hate,
who
but
won
I do
the
have
draft.
The first title.
713-780-3776. Much different field, though. I mean, you have the USGA versus the Masters. I mean, two totally different things. So who won the draft? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns for ESPN in Cleveland and might have sent information to Tony Busby. He'll be joining us at 1:30. Also, we'll get the idea from him of what's going on in Cleveland, their point of view of Deshaun Watson. But coming up next, a potential breakout player for the Texans. What do we think? What do you think? 713-780-3776. We'll kick it around when we return. It's Killer Beast on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But first, a moment on HRNP, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holly. He used to protect a dude that won a Heisman Trophy. Now he wants to protect you and your business. Also, HRMP members of the Cougar 100 going on nearly a decade now. You've seen the HRMP signage at U of H games, football side, basketball side, baseball side. You've seen the building off the Beltway. And business owners, let HRMP help you. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HRMP can help in any or all of those facets. There's no boxes with HRMP. They just aren't checking off certain boxes. They're trying to customize a plan for you and what your business needs. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big, HRMP will find a plan that works for you. If you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate, HRMP will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You'll absolutely love that, but you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll be talking to some stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows your business needs. Also, look, I'm an employee of an employer that uses HRMP here at Gal Media. If you want to help out your employees, if you're an employer, I promise you, your employees will be happy with HRNP. Whenever I have a question, send a quick email. Always very quick to respond. Their customer support is fantastic. So give your employees a little bit of help. They will absolutely love it. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRNP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at hrnp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Colonial.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We have a giveaway for you. My friends, I shared a flight with them once. The Sabercats, they're in the playoffs, baby. Houston, we have playoffs. The Houston Sabercats are the top seed in Major League Rugby's Western Conference, and they'll be hosting the conference finals this Saturday, June 18th, 6 p.m. Join the Sabercats at Aviva Stadium this Saturday as they take on the Seattle Seawolves for a chance to go to the Major League Rugby Championship. Sabercats have qualified for the playoffs, first time in franchise history. They look forward to welcoming you out to the stadium June 18th at Aviva Stadium. You can get tickets now at HoustonSabercats.com, starting at only $15. We'll see you June 18th, 6 p.m., as the Sabercats make their postseason debut. That's HoustonSabercats.com for tickets, and show us your big cat energy. We'll give away some tickets right now. Caller number 5, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Caller 5 going to watch the Sabercats in their postseason debut and looking to get to the Major League Rugby Championship. And if you don't win the tickets, HoustonSabercats.com to go watch them Saturday, June 18th, 6 p.m. You don't win tickets, you got to get out there. A good thing to do on a Saturday, and it'd be awesome to see the Sabercats get to the championship in Major League Rugby. All right, potential breakout player for the Houston Texans. Minicamp going on right now. Did you see Laramie Tunsil showed up yesterday? Huge news.
To the General Junior, he looks like he's in the best shape of his life, and he looks like a specimen.
He's always looked like a specimen. But
he is a large man.
Just, my goodness. I mean, Laramie Tunsil showing up. I mean, just how thrilled can you be as a Houston Texan fan that Laramie Tunsil, after he did not volunteer for non-voluntary OTAs, was a pro and showed up at minicamp? Just outstanding news for the Texans. I really think that their record's going to take off with Laramie Tunsil back in the fold.
I feel good.
Davis Mills is going to have a great
season.
Just
let that out, get that off your chest, just to let it fly like that?
The biggest date, yeah. Laramie Tunsil's not around. How are we going to live with ourselves?
It's the same way you know that when I get all of this, like when I get it all off my chest about, I don't care if Stingley practices in May and June. I care if he practices. And Lovey addressed all of it yesterday when he said, look, the two number one picks are going to be fine and they're going to be ready for camp and they're going to be ready from day one. And the bigger news than all of that is Mechie is too, because that's the only guy that I was deeply concerned about with the surgery that he had and how recent he had it. The fact that he really believed, Lovey really was adamant in believing that all three will be available and ready to go for the start of camp. And if that's the case and all your receivers are ready to go from day one to go with your two number one picks, that's fantastic. I'll worry about it if they're not when we start talking about it in July.
I didn't hear the Mechie sound the same way that many others did. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later towards the bottom of the hour. But I want to talk about a potential breakout player for the Houston Texans. Yard Barker, they had their list at one breakout player for every single NFL team. The one that they mentioned was Jonathan Greenard, who bullish over, I think, on this show. But does Jonathan Greenard count as a breakout player? Y'all tell me. 8 sacks last year, didn't play the full body of games. We expect him to step up. But does Jonathan Greenard count as a breakout player, a potential breakout guy?
I mean, I think he established himself enough last year.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I think
that if he had just, like, for, you know, a couple weeks span, he did some things to raise an eyebrow, it would be something like you're looking for better, you know, bigger things even for this year, and he could really go. But the fact that he was one of their most consistent players a year ago, I just think that he's probably not eligible.
See, I think it's the difference between having this conversation locally and nationally, right? Like nationally, okay, Jonathan Greenard, he doesn't have the cachet yet, the popularity around the league. I think locally we take a notice who Jonathan Greenard is. 8 sacks last year. We expect him to be in double-digit sacks this season. So if we take Greenard off the board as potential breakout player for the Houston Texans, we want to challenge each other and challenge you, the Hive, 713-780-ESPN, if you want to weigh in. Who is going to be the potential breakout player for the Texans? 713-780-3776. Do you have one top of mind, Blankers? You got?
I like Christian Harris.
Mm.
I like him. I like the pedigree. I like coming from Alabama. I like the fact that in college, I believe, watching him play, that he possesses what it takes to be an impact player on defense in the NFL. And from everything that you've heard, again, which is meaningless because it's basically without pads and full contact, but everything you've heard since he showed up over on Kirby is that he is focused and ready to go. And I expect some good things out of him this year.
Yeah, I like Christian Harris a lot. I think Christian Harris is going to be one of the better rookies in the NFL. I like the rookies who the Texans drafted, period. I think you're building what is a foundation of what's going to be a very good defense at some point. I don't expect it to be in 2022. I also think that Harris is going to be the guy that, like, racks up the stats, too, because a great cornerback who's locking down guys, and I'm not saying Stingley's going to be that year one, you're not really racking up a whole lot of numbers. Quarterbacks are even scared to throw your way, right? So you're not going to put up huge interception numbers. Jalen Petrie, while he might be a force, move all over the field, have some big plays, make some tackles here and there, maybe you blitz him every now and then, maybe you get to pick every now and then. A safety you don't really look at if, like, racking up a huge, like, a number of stats as well. And football stats, they don't really go hand in hand. But Christian Harris, I think, is going to have tons of tackles. I really think he's going to contend for 100 tackles in his rookie year.
I like him a lot. I like the fact that he comes from Alabama, and you know that means you got to compete every day at practice, and you got to earn your spot. And when he was on the national stage and in the bigger games, he stepped up big. He was all over the field, and I believe he can do the same thing on the next level, especially because there's going to be plenty of opportunities for him to play and do those kind of things. So that would just be, you know, right off the cuff, that was the first guy I thought about.
The one breakout player that I could see is Titus Howard. Because Titus Howard, look, you picked up his fifth-year option. He's going to be playing for a contract, right? And he's also going to be solidified into one spot, mm-hmm. which he's been moving all around. I think he's better suited as a tackle than he is a guard. I think his most natural position is actually left tackle, not right tackle. But if you give him the full, you know, the OTAs, the mini camp, he's getting all the snaps there. As you get ready for camp before the start of the season as well, a training camp, you're putting him into that one spot. I also don't think he's been all that well coached. Whether you go back to last season, you go back to Devlin, I don't feel like he's had the best instruction really from anywhere. And the fact that you're moving him around, he's hearing a lot of different messages. So, one, he's playing for money. Two, he's actually going to be solidified into one singular spot. And the dude has talent, right? Like, he was a first rounder. He's somebody that has some skill. I think he could be a potential breakout player for the Houston Texans in 2022.
If he didn't have talent, they wouldn't have picked up that fifth-year option. If he didn't have talent, they wouldn't believe that, you know, they wouldn't have the confidence to have moved him around as much as they did, giving him opportunities to make sure that he was in the lineup and playing on that offensive line. And I'm with you. I mean, look, Campen was a guy that came in very well respected, but and he's got Wisconsin ties, and he was a Packer. And I thought, well, this is a guy that's going to come in here and really solidify the offensive line. And instead, all he did was muck it up by, you know, playing musical chairs. And I really firmly believe that the Texans are going to end up finding a way to make a deal with Howard after this season, because I believe he can play in this league. And I do tend to agree with you that the way he filled in for Tunsil a year ago, left tackle is a position that's probably he's best suited for. But I believe if you just put him at right tackle and leave him there, you already got bookends that set up this offensive line. And if you get anything at all from a guy that you spent a first-round pick at to be one of your guards, I believe that you have three-fifths of your offensive line that's going to be better than it's been maybe in the last 5 to 10 years.
That's the other thing, too, is that like who you're playing with on the offensive line could elevate your play because the unit is better as a whole, right? You always hear the offensive line is more of like a fist than five individual fingers. It's a, you know, it's a nickel, not a collection of five pennies. You know the old football sayings. But if everybody stays healthy, I think it's probably the most talented offensive line he's been on as well, right? You have Kenyon Green picked in the teens. You have Laramie Tunsil, rather, who's considered one of the better left tackles in the entire NFL. But I thought the point that you said, too, about picking up his fifth-year option shows that Nick Caserio has some faith in him as
They believe he can play.
Yeah. I mean, the previous regime, obviously, they drafted him in the first round, so you know they liked him. But Nick Caserio has sent away a lot of the previous regime as well. And there's some holdovers, but like Charles Omenihu is a guy that they got out of here. Justin Reed, they didn't show any signs of wanting, you know, him in free agency. Nick Caserio's committing over $13 million, which is significant money in the NFL, to Titus Howard in 2023, before he even shows you anything in 2022. So they think Titus Howard can play as well. Perhaps we're looking at a breakout season from Titus Howard. I like yours, too, with Harris in that linebacker spot. Who do you think could be a breakout candidate for the Houston Texans in 2022? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we return, Jake Trotter, he covers the Cleveland Browns for ESPN. Maybe send some information to Tony Busby. We're going to talk to him next about the Cleveland point of view, the Cleveland perspective of the saga of Deshaun Watson. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Know when the whistle goes. Real
fun. Know when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Back into the Killer Bees. Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line. We're joining us now, Jake Trotter, who covers the Cleveland Browns for ESPN. He's been seeing this Deshaun Watson situation play out firsthand. He's been right on top of it, too. Great journalism. He's asked a bunch of tough questions. I remember the first time that Deshaun had the press conference, Jake pressed Deshaun, pressed ownership, pressed everybody. So really have admired your work with all of this, Jake. Jake, first and foremost, I saw your name today in the ESPN.com story of Busby, his thoughts, all this. And ESPN.com, it says that Busby said, and his press release says, we were sent the video of the Watson press conference via Jake Trotter of ESPN.com. You sent in Busby videos? What's going on?
Yeah, I didn't send Tony Busby anything. Where does it say that at?
It was on the ESPN story that's saying that. Actually, I think it was Busby's release. He said Busby said we were sent the video of the press conference. Busby said, quote, and then it says via Jake Trotter of ESPN.com.
Oh, I don't know what quote. I mean, I don't know where you're referring to it. And I appreciate the intro, by the way. But I asked Tony Busby actually about something completely different, and he sent me that statement. But I never sent him a video. I assume somebody else did, or, you know, I think it was playing on ESPN and NFL Network Live, and it would have been easy to get clips of the Watson press conference. But I assume the way the quote is framed that he said that via me. In other words, he sent that quote to me, not that I sent him the video. That makes sense.
Yeah, Jake, there's a very good chance I screwed that up because I'm an idiot all the time whenever I talk on the radio, if we're being very honest. But one of the biggest reasons that we wanted you on was to talk about the Cleveland perspective of what's going on with Deshaun Watson, how the fans of the Browns feel about Deshaun. And he talked to the media yesterday, answered some questions, first time he's addressed the media since late March. What is the Cleveland point of view with Deshaun Watson and everything that's going on in his case?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty divided. You know, I think that there are a lot of Browns fans that, you know, just are not going to pay attention to this stuff, and they're excited to have a player the caliber of Deshaun Watson's talent at quarterback, especially given the history of that position with this franchise. I mean, they haven't had a franchise quarterback since probably Bernie Kosar at this point. But there is a definite swath of the fan base that is, I would say, anywhere from conflicted to fairly disgusted by the Browns trading for Watson, given the allegations that have been made against him. And, you know, I've heard both sides of it. And not only, you know, on Twitter and email and social media, but just in person. I mean, like, a lot of people have come up to me and want to talk about it, and they've had different opinions, and I've heard all of them. And so I think that the fan base is pretty divided. I think there are more people than you would think that are just, what are we even doing here? Why did we get ourselves in this mess? I don't think that is a small segment of the fan base that feels that way. But again, there is, you know, I would say a pretty big contingent as well that does not care and just can't wait for Deshaun Watson to get on the field whenever that may be.
Well, then, Jake, welcome to the game show that was sweeping the nation. It swept through Houston, and now it's got to be in Cleveland. The $10,000 question of how long do you expect Deshaun Watson to be suspended for, and when do you think that he might get suspended? Because, I mean, as even Houston fans got tired of playing that game, they also never cease to be surprised when one or two more suits show up. You got to start asking yourself, when does the monotony, when does all the madness end, and how many are going to file suit? And then when does the NFL truly make its decision? How can they when there's still all these cases that pop up?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody that tries to give you a definitive answer on either one of those questions is just guessing. Like, nobody knows. Nobody knows what the NFL is going to do. Nobody knows when the NFL is going to do it. You know, I can just tell you what people tell me, particularly with the Browns organization. You know, with respect to a timetable, I think the expectation is that before training camp, we're going to have some kind of determination from the NFL. And they're going to have a window here from, you know, next week. Browns finish up minicamp tomorrow. So really from Friday all the way to, like, the 20-whatever July, whenever training camp starts, I mean, they're going to have a pretty big window there to make a call. And I just can't see them letting this go into the season. I mean, I just can't see it. And so to your other point, like, what are they going to do? You know, I think when the Browns traded for Watson initially, just kind of canvassing opinion internally, I think the expectation was, you know, four games, six games, You know, some people I talked to were more optimistic. They're like, you know, he's not going to get suspended. And some people thought it might be, you know, 7 or 8 games. And just in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I can tell you that there are more people bracing for a more significant suspension than they initially were. So is that 10? Is that 12? You know, I've had somebody float the idea, like, could they just suspend him indefinitely? That would give them the right to revisit the situation as more information comes up. And, you know, there's precedent for the league doing this just with the Browns. You guys remember the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph helmet swing. They didn't suspend Myles Garrett for the rest of the season. They didn't suspend him 6 games. They suspended him indefinitely, which gave them the opportunity to review the situation after the season ended, which is exactly what they did, and then they reinstated Myles Garrett. So if they were concerned about new information coming up, that would be a lever, I guess, that they could pull. But right now, like, I mean, I'm not sure anything would stun me. I don't think 4 to 6 games would completely stun me, and I don't think a season-long suspension would stun me either. I don't know what the NFL is going to do, and I don't think anybody really does either.
No, everybody's guessing. You're right. Jay Trotter joining us, covers the Cleveland Browns for ESPN. I've seen the speculation that the final statute of limitations is March 2023, so I wonder if that could come into play at all with the NFL. What kind of reaction and feedback are the Haslam family getting, especially Jimmy Haslam?
Well, they haven't spoken in person about it in Cleveland since they made the trade. You referenced the press conference when Deshaun Watson was introduced. It wasn't Jimmy and Haslam on the stage or the podium. It was Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski, head coach, and Andrew Berry, the general manager. And, you know, the highest ranking official on the dais, it was Andrew Berry that took all the difficult questions that were directed at the Browns. And yeah, Jimmy and Dee Haslam held a Zoom call later in the day, but, you know, by that point, all the stories had been written, people had moved on. You know, people weren't watching that Zoom call live the way they were that press conference. And, oh, by the way, I don't think you can find that Zoom call anywhere on the Browns website. And that's, I can't say that's the only time that's ever happened, but it's the only time I know of that's ever happened where they didn't post anything. So I know that the Haslams were at ownership meetings or league meetings back in, like, what would that have been, into March. I was not there, but there were, you know, a couple Cleveland-based reporters they spoke to. But they haven't taken any questions in person from anybody since making the trade. So I don't know what their reaction is. I don't know how they feel about it. But at some point, they're going to have to face the music. And that will be a very interesting, half hour when that does happen.
Jake, I'm curious where the Browns go from here, assuming that Deshaun is at some point going to get suspended and or maybe even put on the exempt list until they can figure out what goes down. I mean, Jacoby Brissett was brought in. Is every last possibility of that bridge that has burnt between Baker Mayfield and the Browns been basically put out to pasture and he's going to play somewhere else? Or is there a chance to reconcile and say, hey, Bake, you need us, we need you. Let's go through it one more time.
Yeah, never say never in the NFL, and never say never with the Browns, especially. But if you're asking me, like, what chance Baker Mayfield ever plays another down to the Browns, I'd put it at, like, 0.1%.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to give it a very likely chance of happening. The Browns have moved on. Baker Mayfield's moved on. You know, neither side wants anything to do with the other at this point. So, I don't know, even know what the scenario would be where, you know, that Baker Mayfield was playing quarterback for the Browns in 2022. Even a season-long Deshaun Watson suspension, I don't see it. I mean, the Browns have moved forward with Jacoby Brissett as their backup. They sign him to play games in the event Watson does get suspended. And I even think, like, you know, let's say Watson got suspended for the season and they didn't feel great about Jacoby Brissett, then I could see them looking at, like, a Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody like that at that point over trying to bring Baker Mayfield back. I think it's just too far gone at this point.
So where does he end up? I heard rumors that Matt Rhule, in desperation, maybe trying to make a move for Baker Mayfield. I'm sure that any move would be pleasing to the ears of the Browns as they try and move on from him, if it is as you say it is, and I have no reason to doubt you. Does Baker Mayfield end up playing for somebody else this year in a trade? Does he get just outright cut? And where do you think he might end up?
Yeah, by the way, I saw that report, and I think it was framed, you know, Carolina's, you know, there's an urgency to get him in Carolina and Charlotte before for minicamp. And I was like, when is Carolina's minicamp start? It already started. So I don't know how they would have made a trade for Baker Mayfield and gotten him to minicamp in time for him to do anything in terms of getting ready for the season. So, you know, I know going back to draft night, I think it was day two of the draft, you know, they had discussions, but they didn't get particularly close on a trade. And at some point, either Carolina's going to have to come way down on how much money they want the Browns to pay Baker Mayfield's contract, or the Browns are going to have to come way up. They're just, last I checked on it, they're not anywhere close. And I actually think the Browns would be more willing to just sit on Baker Mayfield into the season than pay more than 50% of his $19 million contract.
Wow. Jake, really admire your work and everything you're doing with the Deshaun stuff. Really enjoy it all. Keep up the good work and hope to catch up again soon.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Take care.
It's Jake Trotter, ESPN.com, covers the Cleveland Browns. Listen to a press conference. He asked the difficult questions.
We need a guy like him in Houston.
He asked some hard questions that no one wants any part of. He does very good work. 713-780-ESPN, any reaction to Jake Trotter? Not what he said. What are we even doing here? Why did we get into this mess from some fraction of Brown fans was very interesting. Also, when we return, something that I love about Lovey. Something I love about Lovie Smith. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. First, I want to tell you about Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin. It is my absolute favorite. You already know that. They won me over, and boy, they win me over every single time that I take a sip. Local Texas brand, Gentle Ben is a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. Ultra-premium. And the reason that they're ultra premium is because they use their state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology that is better in purity. It's better in aroma, and it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka or gin. I dare you to give them a shot. Look, compare them to your favorite vodka. Compare them to your favorite gin. You're going to like Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin way more. Ricky Ford, who's the founder and owner of Gentle Ben Spirits, A&M class of 85, by the way, he had me try the challenge. He dared me to try a sip of Gentle Ben, then to try my, what at the time was my favorite vodka. I tried the blind taste test, and Gentle Ben was far better. You're going to taste a huge difference. You're going to be like me. You're going to put away the stuff that you used to like for Gentle Ben Vodka or Gin. It is unrivaled. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine. You can find them at Specs. You can also visit them online at gentleben.com. Killer Bees will be out there in July for a live broadcast for a remote. Swing on by, watch us that day, or just swing on by if you're in the Alvin area. Their tasting room, a great spot to have a cocktail. Gentle Ben, the union of tradition and invention.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We just had Jake Trotter on, covers the Cleveland Browns for ESPN, asks the tough questions. I thought what he
said this to you in the break, and I was going to say it to him if we had more time. We need at least one Jake Trotter in Houston covering the Texans that isn't afraid to ask tough questions.
Who is the closest guy to Jake Trotter in Houston? 713-780-ESPN.
I'll tell you who it was.
713-780-3776.
Doesn't matter where he was affiliated. Uh-huh. Barry Warner, for all of his years, and no matter if it was Asian Southwest Media, which he represented for the end of his career, to whoever he was representing, the one thing that even the coaches, they knew his name, and they knew when he was in the press conference room, he was going to ask those tough questions, and he's not there anymore.
I think that the closest one he did is probably Brian T. Smith. He'll ask some tough questions. Okay. He doesn't give you the softballs. He'll ask you some hard ones, and, of course, everybody knows the reaction that
Jerome,
Bill O'Brien
maybe.
Had. Jerome asked some tough questions, too. I would say those two at the top, Jerome, Brian T. Who do you think asked the toughest questions in Houston? 713-780-3776. But what he had to say about the Cleveland Brown fan base, how there are a fraction of them that, like, what are we even doing here? Why did we get into this mess? Like, it's one thing to take Deshaun on, right? Like, he has all of the 26 soon-to-be cases over him. He's got all of the drama, all of the saga, all of the black cloud. But then on top of that, what you gave up to acquire him and then guaranteeing the most money of any NFL football player ever. Like, you have to add all of that together. So it's like you're already taking a leap of faith to bring in Deshaun. You're taking another leap of faith to send all the draft capital for Deshaun. And then you're taking a third leap of faith to give him all of the money that you gave him. So, like, for Cleveland, it was all of those things that they invested in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, no question. And I thought it was very, very interesting that the Browns are doing what the Texans would do with deep cover. Like, you know, the hide, duck, and run mentality of, you know, we'll bury what we want to bury. We'll pull off our website what we want to pull, and we'll only talk when we feel we're ready to talk. At a certain point, you got to face the music. And the Haslam family has a whole lot of facing the music and dancing to do, because they are going to be dancing around a lot. Because it was one thing to say Jimmy Haslam was going to come out there and say, this is the guy I want to be the quarterback of my team. It's another thing to put your wife in the mix, too, with all the things that are facing Deshaun Watson. That, to me, is why you can't run forever. And it's going to be a very uncomfortable and very interesting must-see TV-type press conference when they talk.
And interesting that Deshaun Watson didn't run from the media yesterday, addressed the media.
I was a little surprised by that, yeah.
Everybody was breaking down how Deshaun Watson looked during this press conference. Dude's been getting happy baby yoga poses and all of this stuff and is a dirty pervert. And, well, how did Deshaun Watson handle the press conference?
There were people that were, like, concerned. Like, should he have to do that? I mean, God, you feel sorry for the guy that he's getting pressed on that? No, he should be pressed for like 3 hours straight, put under bright lights and having to do it. Because, yeah, I don't feel sorry for Deshaun Watson. I didn't feel sorry for him when he was here, and I certainly don't feel sorry for him now.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to see if he wins a press conference as he faces 26 civil suits.
Well, and it's interesting how much he tries to spin, or they spin for him, but in a lot of his answers, you can only spin so far, and then when he gets off on his own, away from the note cards, that's when it gets really dicey.
Yeah, the old I'm sorry that you're sorry play yesterday was rich. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So something that I love about Lovey that, to me, is a good sign for the Houston Texans. First one, here's Lovey yesterday. At the mini camp for the Houston Texans, which they're only going to go 2 days, by the way. They felt like they got enough work in where they don't have to go the third day. People are flipping out that they don't have to go that third day in the middle of June. But here's Lovey talking about the love he has for the rookies on this team.
They're blending in right now. You know, the first week or so, hey, you know, looking at the rookies now, it's they're in offense, defense, the defensive huddles and making plays, and you want them to blend in. We liked the class before they got here. We like them even more now. Quite a few of them will contribute this year.
Look, in the NFL, you can't have training wheels, right? Like, this is the NFL. You spent high-level and high-leverage draft picks on Derek Stingley, on Kenyon Green, on Harris, on Jalen Petrie, on Mechie. Like, this is a sink-or-swim league. You've got to throw your rookies into the fire, especially whenever you don't have a very good roster. Like, it's much different if you're the Rams and your first rounder isn't ready to start for you, right? But if you have players that are, one, capable of being your starter, you need to put them in that position. The number one's on the depth chart. But especially when you're a rebuilding team, don't tell Nick I said that, you have to groom and develop those guys. It is the most important thing for this coaching staff, not to win games on Sunday, but to maximize and develop the young players on this team.
It's to coach them for the six other days, right? And the other thing is, to the scenario you pointed out, in a lot of cases, you draft these guys, and they're stuck playing behind starters that are already established players that, you know, have a resume that warrants them being on the field, and experience is tough to get. And the only way you can get it is at practice. They have a golden opportunity here because of this team in rebuild mode has so many holes to fill. Every guy that was drafted in the first couple rounds of this draft by the Texans has a legit chance to start or see significant playing time right from the jump.
It should, right?
They need to maximize it, right? It's good for the team to maximize it so that they can see exactly what they have and evaluate if they got the pick right and where this player is going to fall into. Is he a starter? Is he a backup? Is he a player in this league? But from a player's perspective, the quicker and sooner I get experience and I can get my feet wet and get comfortable, the more I can show you what I can do, and then I can see where I'm going to go, where I am, and where I can go in this league.
I think we were very critical of the Texans last year for giving Rex Burkhead X amount of carries, mm-hmm. Mark Ingram X amount of carries, not playing Nico, not playing Brevin Jordan. But the truth of the matter, the Texans didn't have a lot of good young players last year.
No.
They had very few
they
good young players last year.
They were fighting Rex Burkhead. They were more focused on short-term veteran guys that were trying to prove they had still a little juice in the tank for another contract.
And I don't really think they had an avenue to get young players. Like, if you're not getting players through the draft, you don't have young players on your team. Otherwise, you're picking up street free agents who don't have much potential anyways. And they did get Davis Mills, a good chunk of starts. I think Tyrod Taylor being hurt certainly helped that. So I don't really blame the Texans last year for the lack of playing good young players, because I don't think they had a whole lot of good young players. But I love the philosophy here, because look, we don't expect the Texans to go out and win eight games and contend for a playoff spot. I think you're unrealistic if you're doing that. That doesn't mean that we're not excited about the Houston Texans season and feel promise about where this organization's going to go. But whatever side of the token that you're on, of like when the Texans get back into playoff contention, when the Texans finally get back to the postseason, what is the avenue that the Texans have to take to get back to that spot? It has to be through the draft. It has to be through the young players. And the best way to get there quicker, whether it's in 2 years, whether it's in 5 years, is to play those guys as much as you can and to learn the hard way. There's going to be growing pains in 2022.
Well, the hardest thing you may learn, Jeremy, along the way, is one of the guys that you highly regarded and drafted might not be a guy that's going to play in this league, or not might not fit your system, or might not be the guy you thought he was. But it's better to find out now than to wait around a while and keep the guy around and keep working with him, expecting big things of him. And then when you finally do give him his chance and he gets the experience and he gets the playing time, he shows you that. And now you've wasted a lot of time in the process of trying to evaluate him. This way, the evaluation starts right away. You know, the player can get experience right away, and you can make the decisions you need to make, and so can the player. You don't want to end up with situations like we've seen in the past. We've talked about it with our man Travis Johnson. We've talked about it with a Van Der Esch or in Dallas, where you take a guy that was really, really good in college, and you assume he's going to be the same player no matter what system he plays in the NFL, and it just doesn't work out. You want to find out as quickly as possible. This is the perfect opportunity for this young draft class to get the experience and show what they can do.
Yeah, Dameon Pierce should have more carries than Rex Burkhead.
No question about it.
I would even argue more than Marlon Mack, because he's on a one-year deal, but I understand that you want to get Marlon Mack those reps. Like, Nico Collins needs to get more receiver snaps than anybody else on this roster, not named Brandon Cooks. Yep. And I would even say John Metchie if he's healthy. And Lovie Smith, some people listening to this quote, like, I think it's I can't quite make out what Lovie Smith is saying here, to be honest with you. But Lovie was talking about the rookies here and how they're not going to be limited whenever they come back for training camp. Not Stingley, not Kenyon Green. He mentioned Metchie almost, I kind of feel like it's an afterthought. You take a listen, you tell me what you hear.
We expect him to be full speed, ready to go. Both players had all-season surgeries. We knew that. So we had a plan. We wanted them to first come in. We evaluate, see exactly where they are. And we don't play tomorrow, so we're going to take it slow with them. The mental part has been good. Everybody is exactly where we thought they would be. I'm talking about John Metchie, too, all of the players that have had injuries. And, again, we come back in the fall, we're going to be pretty much at 100% first day of training camp, and we're excited about that.
Well, I can't tell. I have no idea if he's referring to John Metchie there or not.
I thought he was. I thought that he was basically inferring that all three guys were going to be ready for the start of camp and that they were going to be there ready to go when it mattered. I hope that's right. I don't know for sure. We know the Texans like to speak in generalities or, you know, kind of muck it up a little bit. So it's left to you to try and read between the lines. But, you know, Metchie's the guy I don't want to rush back either, right? If he's not ready to go, there's nothing that says he has to be there on the field for the start of training camp.
Kenyon Green didn't have surgery, right?
Yeah, when he mentioned that, it was puzzling to me. It wasn't anything major.
So he says the two guys had surgery. I don't know if he was referring to Kenyon Green, but I hadn't heard of anything that Kenyon Green had surgery. So I don't think
it's there.
If he's
talking about all three, he's probably just talking about Stingley and Metchie.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So it's kind of, but then it's kind of weird how he's like, oh, and Metchie too. Like, he wasn't talking about Metchie. So that's kind of confusing. And then also, Metchie tore his ACL December 31st.
Yep.
Like, I mean, that's basically the start of the year, right? We're 6 months in. Training camp's going to open up in a couple of months in August. Like, I don't know if I want the dude that I just drafted in the second round coming off a torn ACL in 8 months. I know it's modern medicine. That's great. But to your point, Like, why are we rushing John Mechie to be ready to go for a team that you really don't expect to get in the playoffs? Make sure that he's 100% ready to go before you rush him back out there. 713-780-ESPN. Is there anything you love about Lovie? 713-780-3776. All right, when we come back, in case we missed it, the stories we've been meaning to get into, just haven't had the time. We do it next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports.